It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for a few minutes for Sandy this morning to bring you the latest news. And there is breaking news this morning out of Berlin. When you went to bed last night, you probably heard that the police there had arrested a suspect in that terrorist attack, that truck terrorist attack yesterday on that Christmas market in Berlin. 12 people dead this morning, many more injured. But you probably, when you went to bed, you heard that they had arrested a Pakistani migrant, someone who had come to Germany looking for asylum. Well, the breaking news just in the last few minutes, the police there, authorities in Berlin, have just announced they believe they have the wrong guy. And they believe the driver of that truck who drove it into those hundreds of people is still on the loose. They say he's dangerous, no kidding. And they're still looking for him. Want to give you more details on that in just a few moments, but I wanted just to bring your attention to that story has just changed in the last couple of minutes. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But the other big story of the morning, of course, is the result of the Electoral College vote. I'm reading from an AP story here. It's which says, and this is the Associated Press. This is their headline this morning. So much for the Electoral College revolt. You know, this is their headline this morning. No kidding. A lot of people could have written that headline yesterday. If you're not already aware, Donald Trump won the Electoral College vote easily yesterday. In fact, one of the interesting aspects of the vote yesterday, you know, you saw all the protests and heard all about it, you know, and the claims that, you know, Donald Trump stole the election, the Russians helped him and all that sort of thing. And the money and the time that was spent trying to encourage Trump supporters to change their vote yesterday to deny him the presidency. Well, at the end of the day, it was Hillary Clinton who had lost more electoral votes than Donald Trump. There was an electoral vote in Hawaii, I think it was, who went with somebody else. And then there were four of the 12 electoral votes that would have went for Hillary Clinton in Washington State. Four of those people voted for somebody else. Three of them voted for Colin Powell, I think it was. So at the end of the day, it was Hillary Clinton who lost more electoral votes than Donald Trump. So 304 votes yesterday for Donald Trump, 227 for Hillary Clinton. So one would assume now it's all done. Do you think the protests are going to go away? Absolutely not. As the Associated Press story goes on to say this morning, the endeavor, all the protests, all the crying on TV, produced more noise than results. That's the assessment of the Associated Press. More noise than results. And there was noise yesterday. You may have seen this clip being played over the last few hours on Fox News. This is a woman in Madison, Wisconsin, obviously a Hillary Clinton supporter. And when the results were announced, of course, Wisconsin went for Donald Trump. This is what she gets up in the middle of this meeting of the Electoral College and there in Madison, Wisconsin, and starts screaming. Here's what she had to say.
James!
You don't deserve
James!
To be in America!
James!
Shame!
Shame!
You refuse
shame!
To be one, two,
shame!
This is my America!
Shame!
This
shame!
Is my
shame!
America!
Shame!
My America!
Shame!
Take me out if you
shame!
Must! This is my
This is my America. You can lock me out if you want. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. This is the, you know, this event, this Electoral College event, down through the years has been a very quiet event because the assumption is they're just going to confirm, and in many states this is the law, they're simply going to confirm the vote from election night on November the 8th. But it is now very clear that the Democrats, most Democrats, and their supporters, they just cannot accept defeat. They cannot. Of course, the president himself has been out there talking about the Russians and their involvement with the election. Thankfully, there are many people on the left who are saying and admitting that if the Russians were involved, it did not affect the vote. We're not talking about hacking into the machines that count the votes. They admit that. But they're saying, you know, that the Russians were behind the revelations about the John Podesta emails, the Hillary Clinton emails, the scandal that went on within the DNC during the whole thing. And obviously they believe that that tainted the electorate. No. You know, the voters on November the 8th, they may have been aware of some of the controversy over the allegations of the Russians being involved. But if anything, it was the content of the email that had an impact on their vote. That's what they were thinking about. It was the content of the email. It was the emails that clearly indicated that Bernie Sanders didn't have a chance to win. The DNC was all in for Hillary Clinton right from the very beginning. So during the primaries, they were working for Hillary Clinton. They were supposed to be unbiased in this. The emails showed this kind of thing. So if anything at all, it was the content of the email that showed the disarray, the dishonesty inside the Democratic Party. Plain and simple. Now, what happens next? Well, who knows? There may be some more attempts by Democrats. I don't know what they're going to do to try to derail. Somebody was telling me this morning that now there are cries for impeachment of Donald Trump. But we'll have to wait and see. But that's the way you have it. Steve, let's play that again. That lady in Madison, Wisconsin, just has a demonstration of how loony things have become on the left.
You don't deserve to be in America.
Shame.
You refuse to want to. This is my America. This is my America. My America. Take me out if you must. This is my America.
You don't deserve to be in America if you support Donald Trump. She says this is her America. Who's causing the division here? Is it Donald Trump and the Republicans? No. It's the side that lost. They believe they own America. They believe the election, they should have won the election. And because they didn't win enough votes on election night, they're trying everything that they can. That's just a demonstration of what's going on out there. Now, the other aspect, to stay with the Democrats just for a second, Gary Bauer of Campaign for Working Families yesterday was talking about the fact of what is Barack Obama going to be doing after the 20th of January when Donald Trump is sworn in as president. And he really believes there is going to be this shadow government, basically run by Barack Obama on the left. And to that, it was very interesting yesterday. Now, the Obamas are down in Honolulu, as usual, spending their Christmas down there. I often wonder why he doesn't go to his hometown for Christmas in Chicago. You know, he loves Chicago. He was a community organizer there, but no, he boards Air Force One and heads down there and leaves a fine carbon footprint across the nation and across the Pacific to go to Honolulu. He never goes to Chicago. But he gave an interview to National Public Radio, and they were talking to him about what he plans to do after he leaves office. We were reporting on this yesterday. After leaving office, he says he plans to develop a new generation of leaders on issues such as climate change, criminal justice reform, and expanding health insurance coverage. The man just can't let go. Now, this sets a precedent it sets a precedent. And Bauer is pointing out this out yesterday. Most presidents have, number one, left town. The Obamas, if you haven't heard yet, are renting an 8,200-square-foot home in one of Washington's most exclusive neighborhoods. So he's going to be hanging out there. I really believe this based on some of the comments that Obama has made, again in this interview with NPR. He said, Obama, talking about the election loss, Obama said Republicans have been systematic in building from the ground up while Democrats have had a bias towards national and international issues. As a consequence, I think we've ceded too much territory. Now, again, he's certainly not blaming himself for the loss. He's saying the Democrats have had a bias toward national and international issues. Who was leading them? It was Barack Obama. He's the one who said, you know, we're going to change the country, change the world. He's the guy who said that. He led. I think Barack Obama is going to be the face of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is in disarray right now. And I believe you're going to see the mainstream media. He's going to be sitting there in Washington doing his little campaign for climate change and criminal justice reform and health insurance coverage, expanding health insurance coverage. I think you're going to see the media with his face on the camera every night. He is going to be the face of the DNC. He will never admit it is his policies that this country voted against and voted in Donald Trump. All right. In the few minutes that we have left here for updating the news this morning, wanted to bring you up to date on what is going on with this terrorist attack in Berlin yesterday. But now you know, this truck, similar to that incident in southern France back several months ago. And remember, Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups has a playbook for their activity, have suggested driving trucks into large crowds. You remember that incident? More than 80 people died in that incident in southern France. Well, yesterday, 12 people killed when this truck plows into a large crowd at a Berlin Christmas market. 12 people dead, many more injured. Now, the news late last night and even early this morning was that they had arrested. There was a guy who ran from the truck, and he was chased down by a bystander. He was arrested. They identified him as a Pakistani migrant who had come into the country looking for asylum. They arrested him, but this morning, just a few moments ago, as we mentioned, that they now believe, the German authorities now believe they have the wrong guy. And they're warning citizens there to be on the lookout. They believe, obviously, that this man could be armed and dangerous. And the reason they say armed, you may have heard in the reports yesterday, there was someone else in that truck. Well, the indication now is the other man in that truck was the actual driver. The truck is from Poland. So he had driven 80 miles with his cargo to Berlin. Somewhere along the way, the belief is the truck was hijacked by this terrorist who then shot and wounded the real driver of the truck. And by the way, the real driver succumbed to his injuries several hours after the incident. So that's what we know this morning. Now, Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, obviously is out there making excuses. Remember, she has been a major, major proponent and cheerleader for allowing these thousands of migrants to come into Germany over the last 12 months or so. She's in trouble politically for that. And that trouble is going to continue. The German people, even though very liberal in their ideology, have had just about enough of this. So we will keep you up on track on this story being unfolding in Germany. Still looking, they say, for the bad guy who carried out this terrorist attack yesterday in Berlin. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for a few minutes to bring you up to date. More with Sandy Rios in the Morning coming up right after the break. We'll see you again soon.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. In all that we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All includes the words we speak, the food we eat, and the clothes we wear. Whether it's pride or rebellion, modesty is a battle in the world and the church. How can a Christian point others to God while drawing attention to themselves? Modest clothing draws the eye not to the outer body, but to the light of Christ within. Ayesha Curry, wife of NBA star Stephen Curry, tweeted, "Everyone's into barely wearing clothes these days, huh? Not my style. I like to keep the good stuff covered up for the one who matters," unquote. Certainly she was referring to her husband, but as a professed Christian, she may have had Jesus in mind too. Remember, choose your clothes to the glory of God. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Your American Family Association will never quit.
We will never quit, ever.
We will continue to stand for God's truth as long as we have breath and the religious liberty to do so.
We believe that God might still show mercy to America by sending revival.
So we will continue to be salt and light in our nation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association this year through your prayers, your financial partnership, and your determination to be salt and light where you live. In the days ahead, we ask for your continued involvement so that as battles arise, your American Family Association will be here to fight for your family, fight for America.
Let me tell you something. All God asks of you is faithfulness. That's it.
Today, when you give $35 or more, we'll send you the new book, Our Call to Faithfulness, The Voice and Legacy of Don Wildman. Visit afa.net/faithfulness.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Nearly 10% of American college graduates believe Judge Judy sits on the Supreme Court.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin.
The American Council of Trustees and Alumni commissioned a study on what's been coming out of our nation's universities, and they found a shocking number of young people have no clue about the foundations of our government. Nearly 40% had no idea the Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war.
I'm older, smarter. If you live to be 120, you're not going to be as smart as I am in one finger.
Of course, it's really no surprise our colleges are graduating ignoramuses. They're too busy coping with microaggressions and finding their safe spaces and making up new genders. We've gone from the greatest generation to the stupidest.
You're an idiot!
I could not have said it better myself. Thank you, Judge Judy. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Lovely Christmas week. Fun, isn't it? No matter what, it's just fun. And so it's a pleasure as we go about shopping, we think about being with family, and of course, always my reminder to think of those that don't have family, someone who's lost someone in their life, someone who's grieving, because these kind of holidays, you know, make that harder, worse. So let's fold those people into our family celebrations and be sensitive to them. All right, well, back to the nation, which is what we talk about all the time. My next guest has become a friend professionally. I enjoy what he has to say. He's an author. He's a former CIA analyst, and he currently serves as the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs for the Center for Security Policy. And his name is Fred. Oh, and by the way, he's the author of the book Obama Bomb, which we have talked about, sort of dissecting the Iranian deal. In fact, Fred Flights, I think you've sort of amended that to update it, haven't you?
I get Sandy. It's great to be here. This book came out in early July, but we issued the second edition in late September because so many bad things about the Iran deal came out over the summer, including the plane loads of cash that we flew to Iran to free the American hostages.
So if people, before we move on to the thing we want to talk about today, if people want to get that book, because it is a great, it just lays out the whole thing. It's a great resource and very interesting to read. How could they get that?
Well, there's a free PDF on our website, securefreedom.org, or you can buy it. It's just about, it only costs about $9 on Amazon.com.
All right. You know, before you joined Frank Gaffney, and people know Frank because he does our Secure Freedom commentary every single morning. They know well, Fred, that he's a friend of mine. We go back a long way. And you are now the vice president for Center for Security Policy. But before you did that, you were the chief of staff for Ambassador John Bolton. You know, I'm going to ask you a question you probably can't answer. I'm asking it anyway. Do you think that Ambassador Bolton will be appointed to be a deputy to ExxonMobil Chief Rex Tillerson? Are you expecting that to happen?
I just don't know. He's not talking, and I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, he's not talking to me about that either. I'm rooting for that because I think that would be a brilliant strategy. If the ambassador can't be Secretary of State, which is really what I had hoped, then just knowing he'd be in the office, since he knows his way around, would be, I think, a tremendous benefit to this country. And then I have to ask you also, before we move to our main topic, because you are a former CIA analyst, you know well, Fred, the divide and the differences between the intelligence agencies, and you know about the dispute on whether Russia was involved in hacking our elections. The CIA chief, John Brennan, says yes. The FBI, not so much. Where do you stand on that? What do you think's going on?
I've been doing a lot of work on this, and I've been discussing it on Fox News, and here's my take on it. We know that Russia's involved in a fairly broad cyber war against the West, especially the United States, and I don't doubt that Russia hacked Democratic emails and probably tried to hack Republican emails. But what I see is that we know John Podesta had very weak internet security. We know that Clinton's email server had internet security, and I think we have to be looking at this by understanding that, frankly, the Democrats left the barn door open. What if Podesta left his laptop turned on in a cab and it was given to the Russians or Wikipedia? Would Trump be responsible for that? I don't think we're even looking at this weak internet security by the Democrats. I'm not convinced that Putin or the Russians were trying to help Trump win. I don't think they thought Trump was going to win. They may have been trying to cause mischief in the election, but the Democrats have a lot of responsibility for this because they weren't protecting their electronic communications. Frankly, in my mind, that disqualifies them to run this country.
Well, I don't need to tell you about the power struggles between the intelligence agencies. And also, Fred, would you not agree? Because people are people, it's almost impossible that intelligence is not politicized sometimes on occasion. I'm asking if you agree.
Well, I mean, I know it's politicized. Let's bear in mind that John Brennan, the director of the CIA, was one of the people who edited the Benghazi talking points. His predecessor also edited them, and that was an effort to affect the outcome of the 2012 election. Most intelligence officers are not political, but we know many of them are. During the 2012 election, during the Bush administration, when Bush ran against John Kerry, efforts by the CIA to undermine the election were so serious that the Wall Street Journal ran an editorial entitled "The CIA Insurgency." This was an example of the politicization being so serious that that's how the journal described it.
I remember that well. Series of leaks to the New York Times that were very dangerous, arguably cost people's lives. It really has been pretty amazing. I guess that's when you were serving at the CIA, Fred. That has to be really distressing. I heard yesterday on Fox News, it's funny because you can hear different things in different programs. I heard, I'm forgetting her first name. Anyway, during a Fox report last night, that the FBI now concurs with the CIA that the Russians affected our election in order to help Donald Trump. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that. It wouldn't surprise me that the heads of these intelligence agencies are falling in line with each other, but that doesn't make it true. I think Congress has to look at this, and in the end, the Democrats are going to take one position, the Republicans are going to take another position. I don't think we're ever going to have, I don't think there is someone out there who's going to be able to give us an evaluation that everyone's going to fall behind. But, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that the FBI and other intelligence agencies are falling in line, and as I said, that doesn't make it true.
All right, let's come back to the issue at hand, Fred, and that's your boss and our mutual friend, Frank Gaffney, and the Center for Security Policy has, this is not new news, this is actually old news, has really been at the crosshairs of a war of its own kind in Washington, D.C., and I've had a front row seat to this. I've known Frank since 2001, and I think that's when this started. Frank served with the Bush administration, and I don't think that any one of us that really knows him to be anything less than a man of integrity and character and honesty. And yet he has been the brunt and the center for security policy of so many attacks over the last decade. I think it's kind of waning a little bit, to be honest with you, but there's been an uptick lately. Quint, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm so happy you're doing the show, Sandy, and I know Frank is so grateful for your support and friendship. I've known Frank since the Reagan administration. He's never shied away from controversy. He always tries to speak truth to power, and the left has always hated him. They hated him before he took on the threat from radical Islam. I got to tell you that. This isn't new. They've been after him for a long time, and they've tried to discredit him, and he's come back time and time again. The attack over the last few years has been because Frank has been calling out the threat from radical Islam, the threat from the global jihad movement, to our way of life. This is extremely politically incorrect, and every organization in the sun has come out against him. Well, it's interesting that as this threat has gotten worse over the last few years because of the outrageous policies of Barack Obama, there are modern conservative politicians and groups who previously had bashed Frank. They're coming to us and saying, well, we want to hear what you have to say now, because Frank was right. And I think, you know, you and I have seen that the things Frank has been saying for decades, we're now hearing being said in the news media. We're seeing Republicans who previously were afraid to go near this, they're now embracing the positions and the warnings that Frank has been saying for a long time.
You know, actually, let me read, Fred, from an excerpt from Politico. This is a current article, and they say, they're describing Frank. They say, Gaffney has repeatedly been criticized by Democrats and even many Republicans. His organization, CSP, Center for Security Policy, has pushed conspiracy theories about Muslims, including that there is an elaborate scheme being orchestrated by the Muslim Brotherhood to infiltrate the United States government. He has warned of an Islamist fifth column operating inside our own country. And so it goes on and on. So that they lay it out what the problem is, and now Fred, you're right. I guess I hadn't thought about what you just said till this moment when you said it. It really is the lurch to the left. And I think people are beginning to see that what Frank has been saying all along actually is true, even if they don't know about the Holy Land Foundation trial or the explanatory memorandum, which was the holy grail for the Muslim Brotherhood in terms of how to infiltrate. They're beginning to see that the things that Frank has said, the warnings, are in fact true because of the leftward swing. But
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about our dinner in New York City honoring the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer. And I mean, this is an instance where we have someone who really was acting in as a profile in courage. Dermer was warned by the Southern Poverty Law Center, J Street, the liberal Israeli newspaper Haaretz, the Anti-Defamation League, the Huffington Post, and many other organizations. You cannot accept an award from the Center for Security Policy and Frank Gaffney because they're anti-Muslim bigots. You just can't do that, Ambassador. He said no. And he said, and I quote, Frank Gaffney is no hater, no bigot. The center is not only an unabashed defender of my country. It is no hate group. I am so proud of Dermer for standing up to this extreme pressure from the left, which, frankly, a lot of Republicans would not have stood up to do the right thing. Frank is an incredible friend of Israel, an incredible friend of freedom. And it's hard to get this message out right now because the left bashes you so hard if you discuss the issue of radical Islam. Look what they try to do to Donald Trump. And I mean, this has been happening in France for a long time.
Absolutely. And as you said, it isn't just the left. It also has been the Republicans, because the Muslim Brotherhood has managed to infiltrate pretty significantly into their ranks as well, beginning with the Bush administration. And so it's been almost anathema. The things that Frank has said, I have seen it, front row seat to them sticking their fingers in their ears and deriding Frank because it would be too difficult for them to admit that they had actually opened, you know, let the camel get its nose under the tent. They didn't want to talk about it. And so now they're being forced to face this. And I think Ron Dermer, of course, is the Israeli ambassador. And he came to your banquet in New York City a couple of nights ago. It was the flame dinner. Judge Jeanine Pirro, who we all love, was there. And also, who was the other guest?
We also recognize Mort Klein.
Mort Klein.
President of the Zionism Organization of America.
Yes. Okay, so, but Ron Dermer did take a courageous step. What you I'm talking to the audience now. What you have to understand is that because of Frank's unabashed defense of this country, pointing out just faithfully, all the time in his writing and everything, the plan of the Muslim Brotherhood to subvert and overthrow, as written in their own words in the explanatory memorandum, which, by the way, we will post yet again on our Facebook so that you can read what Frank has tried to get out for now for more than a decade. And been derided. And so Frank has been marginalized because it's easier to do that than to actually face the problem, because then you have to extract. It's like it's gotten in so deep, you have to do some extraction, and people don't want to do that. And so Frank has, I've never seen anyone stand so courageously, Fred, in the face of such blistering, withering criticism by his own. Shunning by his own. And the money, he would not talk about this. I'm talking about it. The money that you have to raise when you have a non-for-profit like the Center for Security Policy, the speaking opportunities, roles in cabinets, all of those kinds of things. Frank has laid it on the line because he really wanted to protect and preserve this country. And that's kind of the backdrop to Ron Dermer, the Israeli ambassador, then accepting the award at the Flame Dinner in New York City just a few nights ago. And so, Fred, let's hear it from Ambassador Dermer's own words, the very opening statement. Let's listen.
I also want to thank another steadfast friend of Israel, and that's Frank Gaffney. Winston Churchill famously remarked, "You have enemies, good. That means you have stood up for something sometime in your life." Well, if you have enemies, Frank, it's because you have stood up for something many times in your life, and that something is freedom, an unwavering commitment to freedom for America, for Europe, for Israel, for everyone. And I think I speak for every person in this room and many people who are not in this room when I say thank you for standing up for all of us. I also want to thank the Center for Security Policy for giving me this prestigious award. I deeply appreciate it, even though I don't think I've earned an award won by the likes of Margaret Thatcher and Jean Kirkpatrick.
All right, that's Ambassador Ron Dermer speaking at the Flame Dinner, sponsored by the Center for Security Policy. So eloquent. My guest is Fred Flights, Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs for the Center for Security Policy. When we return, we're going to listen to a few more excerpts from Ron's speech, Ambassador Dermer's speech. I want you to hear what he has to say, because he loops in really our mutual enemy, I will say enemy, the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they are part of the nefarious character in this whole attempt to discredit Frank Gaffney in the center. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Merry Christmas from 8 Days of Hope. We want to thank you, the American Family Radio listener, for supporting 8 Days of Hope as we serve disaster victims in 2016. Volunteers from across the country that heard about 8 Days of Hope on AFR came to Texas and Louisiana, South Carolina, and West Virginia to help out flood victims. You came to Mississippi to help out flood victims and tornado victims. And then in October, we happened to be in South Carolina where Hurricane Matthew hit. And we had thousands of people there that were willing to help and serve and love others who needed our assistance. Thank you for your volunteering. Thank you for your financial support. But most of all, thank you for your prayers for 8 Days of Hope. Please continue to pray for 8 Days of Hope as we move to 2017. We hope that you and your family have a Merry Christmas and a joyous new year.
That's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope, a ministry partner of the American Family Association. You can learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
As Christians, we've all been called to make disciples of all nations, but not all of us can go to the ends of the earth. Hi, this is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. That's Exploring Missions, Sunday afternoon at 1 Central on AFR Talk.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday in Germany, a refugee from Pakistan murdered visitors to a Christmas market. In Turkey, a policeman assassinated the Russian ambassador. While many of the two incidents' details are, of course, different, they have one thing in common. Both were acts of individual jihad. If past experience is any guide, there will be much talk about whether the perpetrators had ties to terrorist groups and speculation about their motives. In the end, the focus on such particulars has the effect of obscuring the underlying reality of jihad and distracting us from the imperative of defeating it. The traditions and teachings of Islamic supremacism, promoted by the Pakistani state for decades and now by Turkey's despot Recep Erdogan, require Sharia's adherents to wage holy war against infidels however and wherever they can. Unless they're convinced of its futility, expect more jihad, including here. This is Frank Affney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
Sandy Rios back with you. Boy, isn't it interesting? You see, that's the timeless words of Isaiah. Every valley shall be exalted. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. You know, only a carpenter would understand that. But the whole thing is the justice, that the wrongs will be made right. And I think that that's part of what moves me. It's just God's justice. It's not social justice. God's justice is seeking what's right against what's wrong. And that's what I try to do every day. That's what Fred Flights tries to do. That's certainly what Frank Gaffney tries to do with the Center for Security Policy, Speak the Truth. You just heard Frank's commentary. He so faithfully provides that for us every day. And he is a national treasure. And so when people come after him, I rise to defend because he is a true patriot. Fred is the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs for the Center for Security Policy. Fred Flights, the author of Obama Bomb. And by the way, you can get the PDF of that at securefreedom.org, securefreedom.org. It's a very complete and thorough discussion of the Iran deal. Fred, I bet that'll be a workbook for the Trump administration. What do you think?
Well, that's what it was written to be. There's actually recommendations in the book at the back on how President Trump should renegotiate the nuclear deal with Iran.
Wow. It's really gratifying, isn't it? You know what? 5 months ago, I think many of us thought it just seemed hopeless. It's like we keep trying to speak the truth about various things, and the country just seems blindly to be hurtling, you know, toward disaster, really, whether it's national security or, to me, from the moral issues. And to have this whole thing turn on its ear is just an amazing thing. And so, okay, so back to your Freedom Flame Dinner in New York City, in honoring the ambassador of Israel, Ron Dormer. Ron had a lot of interesting things to say. Fred, he thanks Frank and he talks about what a hero he is, but then he goes into something more explicit, and I think we should listen, so let's do.
I recognize that there are those who believe that naming the enemy militant Islam will lead people to mistakenly believe that the enemy is Islam itself rather than a virulent ideology now ascendant in the Muslim world. But those who speak euphemistically of militants or violent extremists should not be surprised if others reject such political correctness and mistakenly replace militant Islam with Islam itself. We must also reject the shameful efforts of some to prevent any serious discussion about the nature of the enemy we face. Now, I realize the full extent of those efforts only after a controversy erupted about me speaking here tonight. The day you announced that I was being given this award, the spokesman at my embassy received an email from the Southern Poverty Law Center asking me why I was accepting an award from what they called an anti-Muslim hate group. I was a bit surprised. First, because I have known Frank Gaffney for many years. And while I don't agree, Frank, with every single thing you say or believe, Frank Gaffney is no hater and no bigot. Second, because I have followed the work of the CSP for many years. And while I do not agree with every policy position you have taken or every view expressed by every single one of your members, the CSP is not only an unabashed defender of my country, Israel, it is also no hate group. But I must admit, the fact that it was the Southern Poverty Law Center that was making this allegation got my attention. It did, because I always thought highly of that organization. After all, when I was growing up in this country, the SPLC went after the KKK. They used the courts to fight against the evil of racial segregation and systematic discrimination. In my mind, they were the ones who targeted the real haters of the world. So I read with great interest what they sent me. And when it came to their allegations against you, there was nothing to justify the wholesale defamation of this organization or its leadership.
All right, that's Ambassador Ron Dermer receiving the Flame Award at the Flame Dinner, sponsored by the Center for Security Policy. This is Sandy Rios. My guest is Fred Flights, who works as Vice President at Center for Security Policy. But before I talk to Fred again, let's listen to this last comment, follow-up, about the Southern Poverty Law Center from Ambassador Dermer.
But then I read some more, and I discovered that the SPLC had made up a list of those they label anti-Muslim extremists. And as I read that list, I was simply stunned. Daniel Pipes, one of the great scholars of the Middle East was on it. So too was Majid Nawaz, a former Islamist who fights against Islamists. But the biggest shock of all to me was when I saw a name on that list of someone I personally regard as a hero, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. For those of you who do not know Ayaan, she was the Dutch parliamentarian who in 2004 produced a film with Theo van Gogh called Submission, which focused on the oppression of women in the Muslim world. Because of that film, van Gogh was assassinated by a fanatic Muslim, and Ayaan was forced into hiding. She has had to live with death threats and under constant protection ever since. Yet rather than cower in anonymity, Ayaan writes books, publishes articles, makes speeches, and fights for her ideas, in particular the need for sweeping reform in the Muslim world.
All right, so that's Ron Dermer. And, of course, the ambassador Ron Dermer from Israel. The point is, as he looked into the Southern Poverty Law Center, he realized they arbitrarily accuse groups of being hate groups, and people, persons. Frank Gaffney is just one of them, and Ayaan Ali Hirsi is the one he goes in to talk about. Fred, what else do you know about that particular subject, the Southern Poverty Law Center? I think we've made some traction against them. Would you agree with that?
I do. I wrote an article about this about a year ago. It's on foxnews.com, mentioning that they also tried to put Ben Carson on their hate list. And what this organization does, it lumps conservatives together with the KKK and neo-Nazis to smear them. It's just a despicable organization right now. At one time, they did good work. But right now, they are funded by the far left, and their whole purpose is smearing conservatives. And, I mean, Sandy, just wait. Just a matter of time before they put you and me on this list, too. That's what they do.
Oh, I'm already there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just to be clear, you remember that women who hate Islam? That's their list, and I'm one of those women. Me and Judge Jeanine and Laura Ingraham and Ann Coulter, and your own Claire Lopez.
Lopez is on too.
Yeah, we're already there. We have a place of honor. But I have to say the SPLCC has of course targeted the American Family Association as a hate group, and we've had problems with them in a different way. They've used they've actually been training like people in the army that they can't give to the AFA because we're a hate group listed by the SPLC. But Fred, I just read last week that the Justice Department, now we managed to get the SPLC off of their website as an official partner or reference. I don't know what designation they give them, but they work with groups. And that was one of the groups listed. We managed to get that off, but now it's back again. Do you know anything about that?
The SPLC and the Council on American Islamic Relations and a lot of our other organizations that are actually hate groups themselves that are looking the other way on radical Islamic terrorism. With the election of Donald Trump, they're not going to be advising the U.S. government any longer.
I just think this is so gratifying. And, of course, even it's been, I'm guessing, I'm speculating, you probably can't comment on this, but I'm speculating that it's been off tightrope for the even Trump transition team to walk because the left has tried to so sully Frank's name and the center's name that it takes an act of courage to loop. It has taken an act of courage to loop you guys into that process. But I think this endorsement by Ambassador Dermer could be a big game changer, don't you?
I've seen a lot of courage. We were part of the Cruz team, national security team, and we've worked very closely with the Trump team. And they haven't been afraid at all. We've had wonderful discussions with them. And, I think that this speaks well for this organization. They're not going to be bullied by political correctness. They're not going to be bullied by organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center.
As we looked for the Christmas holidays here, Fred, I know that publicly the mantra is that this presidential election in the United States will not have any effect on the Islamists and what they're doing. But I personally don't see how that can be. It seems to me that it's true that the Islamists respond to strength. Right or wrong, you know, they respond to strength, and that's what Donald Trump is showing. I know it's not scientific, but I would like to know what you think about what you're seeing in terms of intelligence about what's going on. Do you sense a kind of a dulling of their enthusiasm?
I think all of our adversaries respond to strength and exploit weakness. And that's why ISIS has grown during this presidency. That's why China has extended its reach. That's why Russia and Iran, that's why their influence has grown. The United States has been AWOL. We have to deal with these states with strong leaders and a strong foreign policy, and we just don't have anything like that right now. And I'm very optimistic by what I'm seeing from the Trump transition team.
You know, Fred, the president, as in Obama, is planning on doing some sort of a investigation into Russia's involvement in our election. He wants to do it quickly. He wants all the agencies to come in. What are your thoughts about that? Is that effective, or is that, you know, I know what I suspect. I will not fill in the blanks. What do you think about that?
I think current and former intelligence officers have it in for Trump. I think we know what the result of this report's going to be before it's written. I got to tell you, I have heard that current and former senior intelligence officers are very angry at Trump's election because they were already measuring the drapes for intelligence jobs in a Hillary administration. This report's going to be awful. We shouldn't take it seriously. If there's going to be an investigation, it should be done by Congress. And I think that investigation is probably worth doing.
Fred, you know, it occurs to me that I have not heard, just maybe I just am not hearing, any names mentioned for CIA director. Is that not there yet? Are discussions not happening yet?
The CIA director will be Mike Pompeo.
Oh, of course.
They have not designated a director of national intelligence yet.
Do you think that they will replace the FBI director?
Well, they can't because he has a set 10-year term. I believe the president could ask him to resign, but I don't think he can be removed unless he's impeached. I'm not an attorney, so I may be wrong about that.
Well, you know what? I actually did ask Andy McCarthy about that, and he seems to think that it can be done. My vote is for Rudy Giuliani. I would love to see him go to the FBI and clean that place up. But more to the agency you are acquainted with, the CIA, of course, you've got a certain personality type, I think, who serves in that capacity, like into the world of spies and espionage and double thinking and triple thinking and all of that. And it's an unusual culture. Can it be turned under a Trump administration, in any significant way,
it can be. Now, remember Porter Goss, who tried to reform CIA in the middle of the Bush administration, in light of politicization of intelligence and trying to affect the election, and he had some pretty significant reforms. And I knew his staff were trying to do that. The problem was, CIA fought back. CIA is very good at undermining officials because, you know, many of them they lack their living. And the NSC did not back Goss up, and then he was gone. This time, I think we have a strong CIA director and a strong national security advisor, General Flynn. I think they'll work together to implement some long overdue reforms of CIA.
Well, it's a new day. It is certainly a new day. And in spite of what Mrs. Obama says, I think many of us actually do have hope for the first time in 8 years. And Fred Flights, listen, I appreciate your time this morning, and I want to wish you the most merry, wonderful Christmas with your family and friends.
Thank you, Sandy. Merry Christmas. And if anyone wants to watch the Ron Dermer speech, you can watch all of it on our website, securefreedom.org.
Okay, securefreedom.org. You can also get a download of Fred's book, Obama Bomb, Fred Flights. Thank you, Fred, and Merry Christmas. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.